This is a segment from The Annex, an academic sociology-themed podcast. For more, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com.
So I've had this old banter that I've been thinking about in the back of my head. I think I told you all that, you know, in my methods of social science research, we were talking about ethics. You know, a student raised her hand. No one's ever asked me this question before. And she asked me, you know, would you not cite someone whose work you believe, you know, sort of was unethical, you know, whose methods you believe were unethical? And my response to her was, well, you know, there are works that we know were problematic, but were written before IRBs, right? And we usually tend to bracket them as being problematic, but, you know, they moved us forward in this way. But I was wondering whether or not we ever actually think about whether current works are ethical, since we just assume that IRB takes care of that.
I just assume IRB takes care of that. You know, want to know, it's not even ethical. Like, in a sense, the discipline celebrates Stanley Milgram, right? Celebrates the Stanford Prison Experiments.
Well, the Stanford Prison Experiment was bad just scientifically. Like, ethics aside, there wasn't really much of value learned from it, which is in contrast to the Milgram thing. Where, you know, Milgram actually is very informative, whereas Stanford Prison, it was just so poorly designed. It was more like a, experimental theater than it was any type of well-designed experiment.
Yeah, so my stance, I think at T-Room Trade, like, there were serious ethical violations, but it was still before IRB, but, like, the kinds of things that we learned from it were really important, and I think they still resonate with undergrads.
Yeah. I mean, even the Stanford Prison Experiments, like, it's one of the best known experiments in the social science and is taught to virtually every undergraduate who passes through a social science program. So it's like, I don't know how.
I just think that it's not very good. And it's not very good for reasons entirely aside from it being unethical, which it also was.
So here's a hypothetical to you all, right? Let's say there's a study that's been conducted recently and should have gone through IRB, and, you know, and given what's written in this work, whether it's an article or a book, you actually feel your spidey senses are tingling, and you feel as though there were sort of ethical breaches, right? Would you refrain from citing it, even if reviewer number two tells you need to cite it?
Yeah, I would cite.
I'd have no problem citing it. I mean, as long as I believe it, even if I think it was gathered unethically, I'd have no problem citing it. And also, we keep talking about IRB as if some IRB is actually engaged substantively in ethics. IRB is primarily insured and making sure that you've done a lot of paperwork. When I see something was approved by IRB, I'm thinking, okay, this person did a lot of paperwork and made the respondents read a bunch of forms that don't make any sense.
Well, that's exactly why I raise it, right? It's because I'm wondering whether or not we ever think about it, even given what we know about IRB. sorry, Georgetown IRB, I didn't know.
Well, they'll all get what's coming to them when common rule reform gets implemented.
You know, but what's the difference between that? Who was the person who was the basis of the Stockholm syndrome, though? You know, it's like an unethical act that elicits a response that's informative about the social world. Like, to my mind, I would probably cite that stuff, just like I would. Who was that?
Well, I thought it was one of those far left 1960s, you know, Bader-Meinhof gang type things, except in Stockholm.
Something like that. Yeah. But the point is that a person got kidnapped.
Oh, and then here in this country, you had Patty Hearst, which was basically the same story and more familiar to us as Americans.
You know, and I would talk about that because it's illustrative. I guess maybe it's a flaw in my, you know, my moral code, the moral code that I bring to
work. Well, yeah, so like, if we can't talk about Milgram, does that mean we can't talk about Kitty Genovese because we think a woman shouldn't be raped and assaulted in the street and killed? You know?
No, but here's the thing. We do cite those things, but I think almost every time I see these works cited, there's always the, although it did, you know, although it was problematic in this way, right? And that's because we all know it, right? What about for things where we don't know it, right, for sure, but we're just like, I don't know. I think that this is questionable. I think the ethics of this method or this, you know, data collection, I think it's unethical.
This is really interesting to me that I've actually never thought about this question before. Like, the ethics of the research very rarely influence whether or not I think that the findings are worth repeating or talking about. But in the both of those cases, the Stanley Milgram experiment and the Kitty Genovese case, like those are things that are like not really good findings anymore. Like, they've been called into question. And so I wouldn't repeat those because they don't hold up the test of time, right?
Sure.
Yeah, they did call the and Stanley Milgram, like he inflated his data, and grad students, you know, like decades later spoke out that in fact the findings don't quite hold up and the experiment didn't go the way that it was presented. So yeah, like that's the standard.
Well, we already knew that because it was psychology.
But still, it'll be in psychology textbooks next year. So yeah. So I mean, for me, I think that's the standard of whether I lean on results about whether or not, to my knowledge, they hold up. Not so much the ethics of them, but it's actually kind of interesting to me. I never thought about the question before.
Well, I wouldn't be thinking about it if I wasn't teaching research methods. And, you know, you have you have that section on ethics, right? And so if we're going to hold our students to a certain standard, right, and walk them through how to apply through IRB, you know, should we, the student, I never thought about my peers' work being ethical or not, as you say, just looking at their findings. And student is like, well, would it be ethical for you to cite the unethical? So it's kind of meta, but
it probably is unethical. I'd probably do it. And like, you've identified a failure in my moral reasoning. Is it the right choice? Maybe not, but if I'm honest.
Okay. I just wanted to give a shout out to my methods of social research class. Thanks for making me think.
For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.